We hope this explanation of God's word enriches your life. To help you understand the audience for this talk, we suggest you read the context material on the About Us page. Please read also our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material from philipjensen.com. The following sermon was given at St. Matthias Family Church, where Philip Jensen was senior minister.
We come now to the third of our studies on Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The basic Bible study number 3, living by the Spirit. This in some ways is one of the most controversial and difficult of the studies for us to do, because we wish to introduce the notion of the doctrine, the truth of God's Holy Spirit at work in the lives of Christians, and yet there is much confusion on this doctrine in current Christian circles. We want to introduce the notion because it's part of the gospel and it's true, but also because it's very helpful for the Christian. The young Christian has to be challenged to live in godliness, and yet encouraged that the battle that he is engaged in is not one that he fights alone, but by the power of the Spirit who is given to him. So we've settled on this passage in Galatians. Paul has been arguing in the book, in the whole epistle, about freedom from the law, about our justification by faith and grace, it's not by law keeping. And he has come to the whole doctrine of freedom in chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom Christ has set us free, and so stand firm and don't let ourselves to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Circumcision, the great symbol of taking upon yourself the responsibility of the law. Circumcision is now not to be placed upon people by obligation. For we would then be obliged to obey the whole law, and justification by the whole law will alienate us from the life that is in Christ, from justification through the death of Jesus on our behalf. We are free from the law. The trouble with arguing like this, in order to make clear the gospel, is the tremendous capacity for people to misunderstand and misconstrue your argument. To take from that the seemingly logical conclusion that therefore immorality is permissible and should follow. So having declared that I'm no longer under the law, does that mean I'm now free to murder, steal, covet, adulterate, worship idols, and so on? So Paul, in verse 13 of chapter 5, takes the shift back onto the subject of our freedom. We are called to freedom, not to sin, but freedom to serve. The danger of liberty is that it turns into license. And Christians have this great capacity to move straight from legalism to licentiousness and never really settle where the pendulum should, in liberty. And so now that we're free, we think that we can be free to indulge our sinful nature, free to sin. And Paul is saying, no, we're free to serve. And by so serving, ironically, of course, we will fulfill the law. For when we serve one another in love, when we love one our neighbour as ourself, then we are doing all that the law calls upon us to do. That is, you don't obey the law by law-keeping. You obey the law by being free from the law through the death of Jesus on your behalf. And being freed from the law, you are freed now to love, and by loving, you will in fact fulfil the law. And so to argue this point, Paul puts in contrast the life by the Spirit and the life by the sinful nature. I'm following the New International Version at this point. In translating the word flesh as sinful nature. I think they've caught the idea well. But throughout the text, it really is the works of the flesh, the acts of the flesh, as opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. However, in modern English parlance, the idea of flesh as opposed to spirit will be the idea of my physical matter, as opposed to my internal spirit, personality, soul, or whatever it is you want to call it. Whereas that's not what Paul has in mind. It rather has to do with my old life, my old nature, my unregenerate person, as opposed to my new nature, touched by the Spirit of God, brought to new life by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God. It's the contrast between being a pagan and being a Christian, living to please myself rather than living to please God. It's the work of God's Spirit in me as opposed to the work of my own nature. You see it when you look at the works of the flesh, which include things like jealousy, ambition, hatred, all of which would we want to call sins of the Spirit. But he's not talking about body as opposed to soul. He is talking about my sinful nature, me as a human in rebellion against God, as opposed to me as a regenerate man under the power and influence of the Spirit of God. And we either live as the old man or as the new. And these two, the old and the new, are in conflict with each other. And of course, as long as we are in this world, we are in this conflict that is described for us in verses 16 and 17. For the two are contrary to each other. The new age and the work of God's Spirit that comes from the kingdom of heaven to which I am being called, to which I've already been raised up spiritually to sit, as Ephesians 2 had it, that new age, that is pushing and prodding, that is provoking and encouraging me in one direction, but I am still in the flesh. I'm still to some extent physically here, and in as much as I'm still physically here, I don't like the pushings and the proddings of the Spirit, and so there is a warfare that is set up within me. The consequence of which can be seen. In verse 19, the acts of that sinful nature are spelled out, the immorality, impurity, debauchery. The very things that exclude a person from the kingdom of God. The very things that in becoming a Christian I have put behind me, though I am still struggling with. While the fruit of the Spirit is spelled out for us in verse 22, 23, the things that really belong to God, goodness, kindness, peace, patience, gentleness, and so on. The things of the new age that I have taken on, though I'm still struggling to put on. And so these things, there's no law against them. These are the very character of fulfilling the law. And Paul winds up his argument in verse 24. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature and everything that goes with it. All its passions and desires, all the things that work out of its sinful nature. They have crucified that. And since we have come to live by the Spirit, what we must do is go on, keeping in step with the Spirit, which of course is our text. And if we do that, then of course we won't be conceited or provoking or envying one another, but serving one another in love, caring for each other, carrying each other's burdens, as chapter 6 goes on to spell out. That is, to walk by the Spirit, to walk in step with the Spirit, to go on in the Spirit, will lead us into serving one another in love. That is to walk in the Spirit. The very works of the flesh are all antisocial, all self-centered, the works of the sinful nature, whereas the fruit of the Spirit is always productive of harmony and society, to fellowship. It's moral, being gentle and good and self-controlled and faithful and patient and peace. You actually make for caring for one another, just as the works of the flesh rip people apart from each other. And so to keep in step with the Spirit will be to turn aside from conceit, from provoking one another, from envying one another, but go on caring for each other and carrying each other's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. doing good to all men, and especially those of the household of faith. Before we turn then to that actual verse 25, notice verse 24, for it gives people many problems. To talk about belonging to Christ, that is, anyone who's a Christian, having crucified the sinful natures with its passions and desires, gives great problems to Christians. Because we say, well, yes, but I still desire evil things. I have sinned since I've been a Christian, so maybe I haven't crucified yet. What is being spoken of about being crucified? Well, it is something that you do. It is not something that is done to you. Back in chapter 2, verse 20, it's a different thing. There, it's something that has happened to me. I have been crucified with Christ. But here, it's not talking about my union with the death of Jesus. Here is talking about my repentance, my taking up the cross and following Jesus. Often we do not preach repentance clearly enough. We do not preach that becoming a Christian is turning our back on the old way, on the old nature, on the old self, is putting to death your old nature. And so when we read of those belonging to Christ have crucified the sinful nature, we say, well, that's not what we have done. We've accepted Jesus, but we've hung on to the old as well. Whereas Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. And so Paul is saying, those who belong to Jesus have done exactly that. They've denied themselves, taken up their cross, they're following Jesus. They have crucified their sinful nature and everything that goes with it. That's what becoming a Christian is. That's what repentance is. But as Mark's gospel records, Jesus is saying you must take up your cross. So Luke's gospel says you must take up your cross daily. None of us in our repentance is full and satisfactory. All of our salvation dependent upon our repentance, we would be in great danger. For though we turn our back on self, though we take up our cross, yet over and over again we need to turn our back on self and take up our cross again. Repentance is something you do for a life and you keep doing all your life. It's like when I got married. I promised to love my wife, and I did and I do, and yet it's a promise that I need to be reminded of again and again and again. Not that I've reneged on it totally and fundamentally, but I fail to see its full implications in this area and that and that and that. On one hand, I need to encourage those of you who are listening not to take repentance lightly. Not to say, well, I'll hang on to this part and that. I don't have to deny myself totally. I don't have to really take up a cross. Let me assure you that belonging to Christ means that you have said no to the old self. On the other hand, I must speak kindly to those of us who are struggling, for we keep on finding that we have left the cross behind and just hung on to ourselves. So the first group, you see, I need to warn you that those who live by the sinful nature, verse 21, will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't keep going on in that way. Sexual immorality, jealousy, fits of rage. You can't go on that way. And to those who those words break and hurt, I need to remind you that we are saved by God's grace and by his mercy, not by our effective repentance, not by our moral rectitude, not by our deliberative change that has led to a new morality within us. We belong to Christ Jesus in the crucifixion of the sinful nature. With everything goes by with it. And as we've said no to the old, we've come to life with the new. That is, we have lived by the Spirit. And that's our verse. Since we live by the Spirit, since this is true of all Christians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7 spell it out, since we're all Christians are people who have crucified the old and come to the new life in Christ through the Spirit being given to us, then we're to act out the work of the Spirit. Notice, friends, it's not automatic. It's not, since I have received the Spirit, then automatically I will have the fruit of the Spirit. No, no. Since I have received the Spirit, therefore I must keep up with what the Spirit is doing in me and working with me. I must keep in step with the Spirit. I must put effort into this. However, I don't do it solely and alone. It is the Spirit of God within me that produces that fruit that is so contrary to my natural self. My natural self would produce idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and discord. It is the Spirit within me that produces goodness and patience and peace and kindness. That is the way the Spirit is working. That is the direction He is producing, producing the change in me. And that is the direction to which I must also walk. I must also strive. I must also go on. And so the beauty of this passage, it's not sit back and let God do it in you, nor is it struggle on by yourself and make the best of it. It is keep in step with the Spirit who is at work in you producing this fruit. And further, the spiritual fruit that comes from God is not ethereal, but moral. Spirituality, being led by God's Spirit, does not move us into a new ecstasy, but rather into an other person-centeredness. For the truly spiritual will not be conceited or provoke or envy. The truly spirit will be kind and gentle, faithful and patient, loving and joyful, and thus will be caring for one another and serving one another in love. How will you recognize when you are a really spiritual person? Will you have a glazed look on your eyes? Will you sit in a strange religious posture, deep in silence and some form of transcendental state? No, that is not the Spirit of our living Father and God. That is not the Spirit of Jesus. If you live by the Spirit, you will keep in step with the Spirit who produces in you love and joy, and peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. If you truly are being led by the Spirit, you'll be putting to death the deeds of the flesh. If you're truly led by the Spirit, then you will be caring for all people and doing good to all, and especially the household of faith. You'll be carrying others' burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ. You'll be serving each other in love. For truly spiritual act is to wash up, mow the grass, write a letter, invite somebody home for lunch, say a word of encouragement, pray for a sister, be patient when somebody is overbearing. They are truly spiritual acts. It's the serving of others. Moving off into your own little ecstasy may indeed not be spiritual at all. More likely, spurious. So then, this verse and its function in our caring for new Christians. It's important to introduce to them the whole notion of the Spirit of God at work in them. It's important to reinforce the idea of repentance, of having said no to the old life and yes to the new life. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, but made alive in Christ. We have therefore crucified the old life and its old ways and its old nature, and have now come with a new nature, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We have been born again by the Spirit of God. We now live by the Spirit. They're important concepts to bring to people in order to challenge them to go on in change of lifestyle, to go on putting to death the deeds of the old nature: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, drunkenness, dissensions, factions, orgies, envy. Put them to death, because they're all part of the old. And to go on keeping in step with the Spirit's work in our life, encouraged in patience and kindness and those things which are the fruit of the Spirit. It's important to challenge young Christians to put their life right. Yet when we challenge people to put their life right, they will frequently come back and say, but I cannot do it. And the answer is clear here, is it not? No, you cannot. But God's Spirit is at work in you, and He can. And furthermore, you are no longer that old person because you have put that to death. You are now the new person created by God. You have come to life by the Spirit. And if you live by the Spirit, then you go on with the Spirit, making the changes that you by nature could never have made. And so we challenge people on to a new lifestyle in terms of the change that has come in their life and to the power of God that is now at work in them. And the passage shows that it will be a fight. But it's not a fight that we plan to lose. It's a fight that by God's power and Spirit we plan to win and are able to through His mercy and kindness. It's important to bring people to this. And very often when we come to this stage in the study, our relationship is built with them a little bit over the last few weeks, and we can start to learn some of the battles that crucifying the old sinful nature and coming to life in Christ will be meaning for them. Some of the different works of the flesh that they are having to struggle with will come out. Often we are beaten and defeated. And it is marvellous to know that God is at work in us, bringing about His changes, His purposes, and to encourage ourselves to go on putting those changes into effect as the outworking of having crucified ourselves with Christ and come alive by the Spirit of God. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the talks on philipjensen.com. Please check our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material on philipjensen.com.